Now, do you think I would dumb enough to fall for that?
Of course you're not going to get treated like that here.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I was not dumb enough to fall for that again.
Mm-mm. No. So was this room full of people who were like prospects as well, or were they already in, you know?
Oh, they were already in.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you probably lost them a lot of business that night.
not... Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm sure there are some people in there thinking, man, I should probably quit this. This isn't working for me either.
Yeah.
And then, so several years later, I again got pitched another MLM. Mm-hmm. And this time, this is with a woman who I acted with in a play. It was an experimental play. So it was so weird. It was like your average David Lynch movie, like almost like Twin Peaks, that weird. Okay. So I worked with her in a particular play back in 2008. And this is 2013. I meet up with her and we meet at a restaurant called Maggiano's. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maggiano's is an exclusive Italian restaurant. And there are only two reasons you go there to eat. It is either a business meeting or you are in a serious relationship and you're taking it to the next level.
Okay, the proposal spot.
Yeah, those are the only two reasons you eat at that restaurant, because it not only is it expensive, it's also very, elite, elaborate. So it's like, mm-hmm. It's like the lights are very dim and the servers are very professional, like, tuxedo professional. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I take it you didn't come away engaged.
No. I honestly thought she invited me there because she was interested, because she wanted to date me and that we were going to kind of hit something off because we got along well.
Mm-hmm.
No. She introduced me to this MLM called Rodan and Fields.
Oh, I've heard of those.
Yeah. This was more of a, face creams and mm-hmm. Things like that. And she says, you are an actor. Okay. You've acted in films. You've acted in plays. You've even done some voice acting. Okay. She's like, you're pretty good at that. But keep in mind, Russ, the older you get, the less roles are going to be available for you. Okay. So, she even brought the creams with her.
Of course.
As well as the booklet. So she's like, I have some things that can help you out and make you look and feel younger. So that way you are more marketable for roles. And at that point, I feel like I just got duped.
Oh, man.
But what she said was absolutely not true, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The older a male actor gets, the better roles are available to him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for women, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like the older you get, the less roles are available because they want the younger, pretty ones. It's a very sexist industry, okay?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That's how Hollywood is. But I feel like I got duped, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't join that MLM.
Good.
Yeah. So now I'm speaking out against MLMs, and I'm doing my research. I'm watching some content creators. Josie, Not the Good Girl, is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love hers.
Alonda Carter, the recovering Hunbot, she's also mm-hmm. a fan of mine. And then I listened to Roberta Blevins' Life After MLM podcast. I talk to her periodically, on a regular basis. She is so fun.
She seems really fun.
Yeah. She is having heard her story on Lou LaRoe and seen her documentary on Vice, mm-hmm. I talked to her a lot, and she had me on her podcast. It was almost like she was opening doors for me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I get that. I mean, we've spoken a couple of times, but we've just not managed to work anything out to like get on a Zoom yet or anything. But she seems like that kind of person.
Yeah,
like she's so knowledgeable. It like I'm still new to it. You know, I'm still new to the whole anti-MLM. Like, don't get me wrong, I watch everything and I read everything I can, but. she's just really knowledgeable in her field, isn't she? That's what she comes across like. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like if you really want to go back to the history of MLMs, you gotta go back like several hundred years when they had, especially like maybe it's either it'll start like thousands of years ago, and then it went to like the Middle Ages up until like the early 1920s, I believe,
mm-hmm.
when you had snake oil salesmen that were going around peddling this miracle elixir to make you feel better, to make you feel better, younger than you ever felt before. And all it was, and all that miracle elixir is just the guy pissing in a bottle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh no. I think it's because obviously MLMs are a lot, you know, they've been a lot bigger in America for a lot longer than they have over here. And, you know, I think we're kind of, and I spoke about this in my first episode, like we're kind of behind on the education side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-MLM content, you know, there's some really cool creators who are doing things to change that now. But in terms of like progress, we don't have, you know, we don't have the FTC over here to, or anything like that, to hold these people accountable, you know.
Yeah. And that's what kind of makes it hard, because when you have deregulation take place, especially in a country like the United States, where capitalism is one of our main drives in how they always sell the American dream to people.
Mm-hmm.
You do create room for corruption. And it kind of started here with Charles Ponzi when he created the Ponzi scheme of like creating a company out of thin air, getting people to invest in this so that the more money people invest, the more he can pay off his early investors, and then when things kind of fall through, he can just disappear. And then do the same thing again. Meanwhile, thousands of people have been stiffed with their money and are now mm-hmm. broke. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and then it kind of evolved into Tupperware parties.
Yeah.
From like the 50s through like the 70s, where you had these stay at home mothers that wanted to make a little extra money, but were told that you couldn't really go into work, you know, you couldn't go to work because, you know, if you wanted to actually work, that wasn't good because you were to stay home and raise the kids. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So you had that.
Giving all these women their independence.
Yes. So these Tupperware parties gave these women their independence. And then you had Amway, the first real MLM company.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is just fraud written all over it.
They're a big MLM, though.
They are. They are huge. Okay, and they have access to politicians, attorneys,
mm-hmm.
and very powerful people that endorse it. And it's almost as bad as the Italian mafia in New York.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's like you create a monopoly like that, you pretty much own people. And so that's why when the FTC goes after them, things, it's like, oh yeah, we'll just pay the legal fee and they'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Herbalife. Now Herbalife, have you seen Betting on Zero?
I've seen, yeah. So I've watched it through YouTube. It was kind of not great quality, but I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. So how Herbalife claims to be selling nutrition products, claiming to cure cancer and to you know, to cure blindness and to cure autism, all these ridiculous claims that no medical data to back it up, that aren't even endorsed by the FDA, for one.
Yep.
Then you also have these nutrition clubs, which in my opinion are modern day speakeasies, where you have this green construction paper covering the windows of this place. You have no idea what it is, but you see people go in there and it's a members only club where they serve Herbalife shakes. Well, from the outside, okay, looking at that, not being in Herbalife, you think it's a crack house.
I was trying to figure out what you were going to relate it to before you said crack house.
You think people are just weighing and cocaine and getting a straw and credit cards and snorting all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I see a lot online about this. We don't have anything like that over here, but I see a lot online about opening shops in people's towns that are these health club, weird health protein shake places.
Well, the community that got the hardest hit from Herbalife was the Latino community, because you have hardworking, honest people that they don't make a lot, and so they give their entire savings, which is very small, to a company like Herbalife, and they're broke. They lose money. They're broke. They're destitute, and you just keep preying on people, and that's what I don't like about it. And so that's the thing about these MLMs is they preach this endless chain of people, which I'm sorry, they don't exist. Okay. At some point, okay, you can write names of people, to your heart's content, but okay, eventually you run out of people to pitch this to. People that you think can sign up, people they know, and that creates this endless chain of people. Well, I'm sorry. Okay, the people that you believe can create this residual income for you, there aren't enough people on the earth to fill that endless chain.
No.
Okay, so you run out of people, and what happens when you run out is the house of cards begins to fall. Okay, and that's why there are so many. I shouldn't say casualties, because they don't really, you know, people that get out don't really die, but I don't know how to say it any other way, because
yeah, no, I know what you mean.
You just have multiple streams of people that go in and out and they lose money.
I think as well that the concept of it now, I've been in and then come out again, like the concept of you recruit people, but you also want a customer base too, you know what I mean? So like if you're recruiting everybody, you're never going to get any custom, because they're always going to order through themselves because it's cheaper.
Yes.
So you've either recruited everybody, you know.
Yes.
Or you're selling to people, you know. Which one is it? You can't, like, both, doing both isn't sustainable, because eventually when you're struggling to get people recruited, you persuade people who are your customers to sign up, because if you sign up you can get it cheaper, you know. So then that's a customer loss. So which one is it? The customer base isn't sustainable.
You know, according to the FTC, that MLMs that have a product aren't technically pyramid schemes, because they have a product that they sell. Well, I'm sorry. Okay. Product or not, the product is not the main part of the business. It's all about recruiting people. Okay. And in fact, the product is just a front.
Yeah.
For really going on.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is. Okay.
And so, but it's like, So you have product-based and service-based MLMs. And here's where the difference really ties in. So the product-based MLMs, it's usually mostly women in those.
Mm-hmm.
The service-based MLMs like ACN, Legal Shield, World Financial Group, Primerica, okay, those are service-based. They have the vast majority of people in those are men.
Interesting.
And so the men gravitate more toward the service-based, the women toward the product-based. Now, there are men and women in both, but on average, it's mostly women that are part of the products. And so they keep getting these products that are available that they have to sell every month. And so, with the product-based, you get all these products in your home that you're never going to sell to anybody, and they just keep building up and you don't know what to do with it. And they're just sitting in your garage rotting.
Mm. Yeah. Whereas the services, I guess you've kind of signed people up to a monthly paying thing, haven't you? So
yeah,
you're not desperately getting custom every month, if you know what I mean, as much, I guess.
Yeah. And I guess the boss babes that are in the TikTok, Instagram videos,
mm-hmm.
They always label the husbands as the guy that takes the credit cards away when you buy these MLM products that you're supposed to sell but never do. And so the husband is like the mean old tyrant because he takes the credit cards away because you're spending too much money that you don't have. And it's like, give me a break.
Yeah, that's why I thought it'd be really interesting to have you on as well, because you're right, like it is a very sexist industry. The whole MLM concept is very sexist. Like it's constantly, you know, burned into your head that, you know, you don't need to listen, you're an independent woman and you don't need to. And I mean, on the odd occasion, you know, you get a husband and wife duo, don't you, signing up and taking over the world or whatever they like to call themselves. But mainly you're right that it's kind of fixated on the man or the partner isn't supportive of your business, and that's because they don't want you to succeed. Not the fact that they don't want you to join a pyramid scheme. They don't want you to succeed in general. They'd rather you just not succeed.
Well, and the way it's sold to, it's just very patronizing. So with the women, you say, well, don't you want to be there for your kids, soccer game? You can do that while working on part time and on a part time basis, just making multiple streams that, just making multiple residual incomes, signing up people and being your own business boss babe entrepreneur, which not, but
that's another story.
He's like, you could be there for the kids. You can retire your job. Heck, you can even retire your husband.
Oh, I hate that saying. That saying really gets on my nerves.
Yes, it gets on my nerves too. Okay. On the service MLM side, the guys here, it's like, look, you work hard to provide for your family. Okay. You work long hours, long days. Don't you want to go to your kids' wrestling match? Instead of having to be in the office, don't you want to spend more time with your wife and go on the vacations you dreamed of? Don't you want to coach your kids' little league baseball team? You can do that being in the MLM. And not only that, if your kid is ever sick, you can pick them up from school at any time. You don't have to ask the boss to take the day off. No,
I'll be right there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, if you don't want to do this, then what kind of man are you?
Yeah. Like sold to you as you're the provider. Why aren't you taking this opportunity to provide properly for your family? Whereas the women, it's why aren't you being an independent boss babe? You don't need no man.
Yeah.
It's a crazy one. It's a crazy one. The whole story of your experience going to those events and It's crazy. When you sent them to me in message form, I was like, oh my God, this is too much.
I'm kind of trying to, reach out to the UK audience here.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because I'm sure they're going to be reacting to this thinking, wow, this guy's, he's mm-hmm. like, I thought whatever I was involved in was something, but this guy, he's been through some
he's been through some shit, this one. Yeah. And it's weird because I think the days of going to the events are gone. And especially now, I know they have the yearly cult gatherings, don't they? But I think since COVID as well, maybe that will influence it differently. Like, I think, you know, people don't recruit face to face anymore, really, do they? It's all through Instagram. Yeah. So I think hearing that will, people will be shocked. I mean, I was shocked, like, the whole. At least you got to see Donald Trump, even though you didn't get to, you weren't worthy of question time, but you got to see him.
I did get to see him live and in person, and it was a very unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I did want to say is, I wouldn't wish my experience on anybody, but I'm sure if, Sarah Edmondson and India Oxenberg were listening, they'd be like, hold my beer, let me tell you all about Nexium.
I've just recently, I'd probably say like near a Christmas, watched that whole Nexium documentary. That's another one. Wow. And I think having, and even the that tried to get some press, didn't it? The murder case, what was the guy's name? It was on Netflix, and his wife worked for Thrive.
That was Chris and Shanann Watts.
Chris Watts. I mean, that got a lot of steam over here too, when I think people online were really trying to link the MLM to the offence, and it's not the case. But the fact people are in MLMs is becoming more of a topic, I guess. I'm trying to say,
they actually live about an hour and a half away from me in Frederick, Colorado, which is a small town.
Mm-hmm.
It's like small town, I think, in northeast part of Colorado.
Wow.
It's about an hour and a half drive, and it's a beautiful town. We did a sci-fi film up there. And it was crazy because where we were shooting, we were right in the neighborhood where Chris and Shanann lived. And in fact, we were probably a few houses down.
Wow.
So.
Whoa, that's crazy.
But you didn't know it at the time.
No, of course. But that was brought up, the fact that there were wearing those Thrive patches, you know, and that changed him as a person, and like all that rubbish. But the fact that these companies are getting the bad press is what we want, basically.
Yep. Yeah. And then of course you looked at the death of a young lady of cancer in an MLM called Market America.
What's that?
Market America is also an MLM, but they don't claim to be an MLM because it's all, it's online, but it's kind of like a whole shopping type of thing. But the CEO, J.R. Reidinger, he gives these very outlandish performances. I'm telling you, he goes all out. He's like, you see the events, you have the fireworks just like going off on stage, and then you have like him running around in a hamster wheel, and then you have like some gravestones, and he's just like talking to a gravestone who never answers back, and he's like, it's so weird, but he's very eccentric. You watch that and you're like, whoa.
What?
He's like, ease up on the cocaine, pal.
Yeah, probably. All that MLM money.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's
Well, thank you very much for coming on and telling your story.
Oh, anytime.
We appreciate it. We should probably do another episode about, you know, the like, that's the topic that kind of I really like to think about, is, you know, the, like, how it came over to the UK and is now, like, there's so many up and coming MLMs in the UK, and we should probably do a whole episode about that. That'd be fun.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, brilliant. Any parting words for your English audience?
Yeah, so if any of you are thinking about getting out of your MLMs, or have been out of your MLMs, but you're feeling the the PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from experience, I will tell you this, that it does get better. It's not going to happen overnight, but it gets better. Not only will you be more educated on what a scam these are, but you'll also be able to help other people. Another thing I want to say is, when you are out of the MLM, do not attack the people inside, because they are victims just like you were.
Yeah.
Okay. They may mock you. They may make fun of you. They may talk about how you'll never have what it takes to be successful. They will be where you are. Okay. And they will know exactly what it is like. So don't, by all means, don't attack them, but, you know, just educate, inform. And by all means, just continue to show love, especially those who have recently got out of MLMs. Don't, you know, because we show love to people.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah, and sometimes that could be, that's happened recently in some of the I don't know if you're in any of the UK Facebook groups for anti-MLM, but that's happened recently in some of those spaces, you know, where people have gone, taking it personal, basically, back to these people who are in MLMs, and everything that they're taught from their upline about what we do and we're haters and all of that stuff, you are kind of proving that, you know, you're proving them right, and that's not what we want, because we're not here for that.
No.
I think if I'd have gone straight, like, I mean, when I tried Nu Skin, it was like coming on, it's like 4.5 years ago, coming on 5 years ago. So, you know, when I think if I'd have gone straight into, I kind of just walked away from it, like, that was a weird experience, I'll never do that again, you know, like, kind of got on with my life. And then it was only kind of a year ago that I'd got into anti-MLM content on YouTube and stuff, and Instagram and stuff like that. And I think that break was good, because I'd kind of got over everything that I was mad about, if that makes sense.
No, perfect sense.
Well, thank you for, again, thanks for coming on, and we'll do another episode for sure.
I'm looking forward to it.
Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you? Do you do anything online with the anti-MLM community, or?
So I do. I am on Clubhouse. So if you're on Clubhouse, my handle is Russ Nielsen. I also have my Instagram account, which is King_Xerxes. That's XES 1982. And then my Facebook page is Russ Nielsen 5. So you can find me there. You're more than welcome to ask me any questions you have on MLMs. But I also want to give a big shout out to Roberta Blevins, Jessica James, Savvy Leaser, and Josie Nikoi and Alonda Carter, because these ladies are powerhouses in the anti-MLM community, and they're very knowledgeable, they're friendly, they will answer any questions you have, and they're so wonderful. But, you know, also I know Chelsea Suarez.
I love her channel.
Yes.
I love her.
I love her too. She's great. She's actually a pretty nice person.
Yeah.
And Jessica Hickson, totally down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Savannah Marie, I call her the butcher, because she just like whacks at these MLMs with a huge smile on her face. She's fire.
She's funny too. I think it's more the shock value sometimes, isn't it? You're like, oh my god, I can't believe she just said that.
Yeah,
but she's great.
Yeah, she has no filter, but I'm giving all of them a shout out because they're all great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. They are really good. And we've got some really good, you know, UK creators that are coming up there. Laura Elizabeth Dos Santos, she's been on my podcast before. You know, she is pumping the videos out about all the UK MLMs that are there. And she was in Unique herself, so she knows all about it and how it works. There's a few. Miss Bon Lee, she's another one. She's great. She's a bit like no filter, but she doesn't care either. And I think sometimes that works. I think you need a bit of everything in the space, don't you? And more people preaching the message, the gospel, preaching the gospel.
Yeah. Well, definitely tell them that Russ, the American ACN guy, says hello, and I also definitely compliment them on their work as well.
I will, and I'll link all of those mentioned in the description of this too.
Sounds good.
Brilliant. Thank you.
All right, you have a wonderful day. So that's really what bothers me about all of that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way it's sold, and then you got the Hallmark couple looking people that, you know, that base themselves off as power couples that go traveling the world and appear to have living it all. Well, here's the thing, okay? They do the business while they're on vacation, okay? I've heard stories of women on TikToks advertising, talking about, you know, promoting the business while being in the hospital in labor and pregnant.
Oh, I know. Or I saw one as well, that a lady who was in Monate, she was selling shampoo to the midwife, like the, do you call them midwives over there? You know, the nurses that deliver the babies.
Yes, I think we do. That, you know, the at-home water births and things like that, those are, I wouldn't say they're very rare. They're just not as common here.
Yeah.
But, you know,
in the hospital, she was selling to the nurses that were delivering her baby. She'd sold shampoo, and it was like, good for you. Like, nobody wants to do that. I think you should be in the moment when you're giving birth.
Yeah. And so it's like, you think that, oh, they say they have time to for the things they want, but it's like every single moment they're on the TikToks, they're on the Instagram, and all they're doing is just running their business. And so that business runs their life, and they don't have any control. It's like, well, you know, in a corporate job, you go to work, you go home, and that's it. Whereas, like, you know, no matter where you go, you have to promote the business. And so you're a slave to it
it's a bit mind-blowing. More than a bit mind-blowing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I've always found it strange how, even I guess in America, there's a lot more that people would need the extra income for, if that makes sense. Like, you pay for your own healthcare, don't you? Your holiday, and like, I don't know what you call it, but, you know, in your job, you don't get as much holiday allowance as us. Like, we get the standard is you get 4 weeks a year. You know, if you're in a better job, you get 5 to 6 weeks per year to take off on vacation. Yeah. Like, we, you know, and I think I can see where people want that extra income to come for, you know, to pay for your health insurance and to have a bit more freedom in your life. But over here, we, you know, we pay, you, even if you pay taxes or not, you get that, the healthcare is free. So, you know, and depending what benefits you're on, you don't pay for your prescriptions for your medication either. So it's weird how it still translates the same over here, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, we did have something like that, but it's not what you have. It was called the Affordable Healthcare Act, which was
Obamacare, signed
by President Obama.
Yeah, Obamacare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And during the Trump administration, the individual mandate was done away with. Okay, so the Affordable Care Health Care Act is still intact, but the individual mandate, which is what funds it,
mm-hmm.
is gone. And so everything else is still there, but the individual mandate, you know, it's seeing as how it's gone, it's everything's going to fall apart unless you get something else in there. Now, with Biden, I'm sure the administration is up to something. I don't know what it is. But Vice President Harris is going to be probably spearheading that, because Joe Biden, our president, he's like 78 years old. He's got dementia, kind of forgets, you know, things what he says, yeah. And sometimes says things that don't make sense. And so he's,
I think she's running the show more than him, isn't she?
She is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's kind of like the thing, you know, she's kind of in the background, where he's kind of up front doing, he's kind of up front image-wise,
mm-hmm.
like cameras are on him. He'll like, you know, meet with world leaders and talk, and then also like appear to be signing bills into law, but he's not really running the country, because he's not able to. He's got an early onset of dementia.
Is that confirmed?
Is it confirmed? No, it's not necessarily confirmed. It's just because if it is, it's going to be hidden from the public.
Of course, yeah.
Because nobody wants to be, you know, to be in a country run like that. The reason people voted for him is because, you know, the Trump administration, you know, hearing about it on the news media every day, it was utter chaos.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Okay. Yeah. You know, when you're hearing about it from the media, it's like, you know, you had the Mueller investigation, and then you had the impeachment hearings,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, people didn't want that, and so hence we got Biden.
I just like the pictures of him with his dogs in the White House.
Yeah,
I think that's a cool angle he goes with on that.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, most people of our generation want Bernie Sanders.
He makes me laugh. The whole picture of him that went round, you know, after the inauguration, that was fantastic, with him just not looking interested at all. I know that MLMs have had a big influence in politics, haven't they, over the years?
Yes, they have. You had Ronald Reagan speak at Amway events while he was president.
Wow.
You had Betsy DeVos, who our secretary, our former secretary of education, married the son of Dick DeVos, who was the real president of Amway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, you had Madeleine Albright, former U.S. Secretary of State under Clinton. She endorsed Herbalife. And then Vice President Harris's husband also happened to be a lawyer for Herbalife, so he was on the legal team.
Wow.
And that's when she was the Attorney General for the state of California, she would not prosecute Herbalife.
They've always got their fingers in all the pies, haven't they, these MLMs? Yeah. Yeah, I just can't imagine Boris Johnson turning up to one of these events.
Yeah.
Thank you again to Russ for speaking to me and telling me all about his story. I think it's great to see men in the movement against shady, unethical business practices, and his experience at live MLM events makes everything we're bringing awareness to completely validated, in my opinion. Next week's episode will be a different one for me. I'm going to try and record an episode on my own. Since unpacking boxes from moving house, I've come across the ultimate diamond. That's right, I've found the notes I took from the online training Zooms I attended. I was so happy I thought I'd got rid of all the evidence. So that might be an interesting listen. Of course, please join me on Instagram and our Facebook group. The info will be in the description bar below. Enjoy your week and see you next time.